The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Pass It On will be premiering on RT at 8 o'clock tonight as part of a three-part series on women's football in Ireland. The series will follow three clubs in the Women's Premier Division, Galway United, Piemont United and Shelburne Football Club, over the course of the 2023 season. Now, to tell us about the new series is Director Jennifer Healy, and also with us is the manager of Piemont United, James O'Callaghan. Good morning and welcome to you both. So, Jennifer, first of all, tell us about the series.
Pass It On. It's actually a four-part series.
Four-part?
Yeah, 4 half-hours starting tonight on RT1. We chose three clubs participating in the top-tier women's football in Ireland, Women's Premier Division. The idea was to follow them over the course of the season, to get to know the ins and the outs, to get the behind-the-scenes that maybe people don't know about, to get to know some of the characters involved, both on and off the pitch. I mean, the women playing football at that level are incredible. They are playing at this, you know, given the same effort, the same dedication, the same passion, the same hours as the men, you know, the equivalent in the men.
How semi-professional are they, or are they basically all holding down day jobs as well?
The majority are, yeah. Just last season, some signed kind of semi-professional contracts, but more often than not, they are in college, in school sometimes. Some of them are quite young. They might have jobs, they might have families, you know, children, partners, all of that. And they're juggling a huge amount and somehow still putting everything they have into football.
What kind of conditions do they get to play in? I mean, in terms of their own grounds, their own facilities, their own kit, all of the stuff that is needed to have a good professional game.
Yeah, well, I mean, thankfully in the last few years, certainly, there's been a great increase in that, you know, people see the need for them to have the same as the men, the same training facilities, the same pitches to play on. I mean, I know James will tell you about Piemont, and that, you know, the women very much have the first preference for the best pitch out in Piemont. You know, it's theirs. Kit-wise, you know, they get the same. They get all the strength and conditioning coaching. They get all the gym sessions. The things that a few years ago maybe they didn't have, they have those now. So it's great for the game.
Now, how big is the women's game? And let's start with the girls' game. You know, you mentioned some of them are still at school. But generally speaking, in my local park, I can see girls playing football pretty much all the time. Both Gaelic, by the way. Occasionally you might see a rugby team out there, but very frequently girls' soccer. So How big is the game?
Women's soccer is the fastest growing game in Ireland. So, you know, it's only getting bigger all the time. And again, James will tell you a bit more about Piemont, but they are really at the forefront of that. They have so many girls' academies out there, bringing through young players from kind of 3-4 years of age all the way up into the senior team. So it's great. You know, there's a lot more interest. And that's what we're hoping with the series, is that young girls who maybe haven't taken that leap into football yet will see these incredible, inspiring women playing top tier football, and they'll want to join in.
Okay, so James, tell us about the operation in Piemont. How many teams do you have, and what kind of facilities do you have?
Yeah, it's a great setup for girls football in Piemont. There's lots of schoolgirl teams, and we've obviously seen a women's team playing in the National League. We're a standalone club, one of the few ourselves and DLR, the only teams in the league that are standalone. We don't have the backing of the men's teams. And it's probably one of the best clubs where there's equality in terms of access to facilities and stuff between the men and the women.
How do you mean standalone?
In terms of in the National League now, a lot of the, like, say, Shelburne have a men's team. The Shelburne men's team support the Shelburne women's team, or Shamrock Rovers men's team support the Shamrock Rovers women's team. And so Galway and stuff like that. So ourselves and DLR are the only teams that are standalone. So we don't have any of that backing or that support that those teams will get. So it's probably, you know, it's up to the club to get their own private sponsorship and backing and stuff like that.
And who do you have backing you?
Well, we just have a lot of volunteers, you know.
Would you have a sponsor locally in Piemont?
Yeah, there's a couple of small sponsors in the club that give us great support. Which we badly need, because it's very, very difficult.
Okay, now, with all those difficulties, a little bit of sponsorship here and there, and yet you're so successful. What's the secret?
Yeah, it's hard work. We've got a great schoolgirl system. There's a lot of good young players who've come through. We've got a lot of senior players playing as well. Some of them would have been former international players. So it's a great backing in that regard. We've been plugging away a long time as well. We've got great coaching staff and there's a great committee in the background that all feed into, which it was a brilliant year last year.
Yeah. How many games do you play throughout the season?
Again, there's up to nearly 30 games in a season. So it's all very, very professional in the train 3 nights a week. Girls have been on their own gym sessions on top of that, play our match of the weekend. So it's the exact same setup as the men's in terms of the professional attitude, but there's lack of resources, there's lack of funding, there's lack of promotion. That's why we were very delighted to get involved in this program. Initially we were a little bit kind of apprehensive about giving access to the team talks or coming in at half time type of thing, because it's hard enough to do that anyway, but having a camera in your face type of thing, it's very difficult. But you know,
so we're going to see you giving them a half-time team talk and give them a lash.
I'm not sure what you'll see. Now it depends on how they edit the whole show. But they've got, in fairness to the show, they've got great access to the national level. All these players, some of them are former international players, some of them are trying to get into the international team as you speak. So it's probably cutting-edge stuff, really. I don't think it's been done before. So you're getting really proper access. You see all the good and bad.
Now, for every young fella playing football, I'm talking about the lads, they look to the Premier League and they say, that's where I want to be. I presume it's beginning to be that way for the girls, thinking, I'd like to make a career out of this and I'd like to maybe cross to the UK and get a contract.
Yeah, but I kind of probably think a little bit different on this in terms of I'd like to see the players stay in the country and get
realistically, it's the lure of Hollywood, if you like, you know.
Yeah, but it's not in comparison to the men's game where some of the players are going over and they're making a fortune, they're making thousands. The girls aren't really making that kind of money when they go away. So that's why I think the rugby model is a great way in the men's rugby, where they keep all the best players in the country and they're rewarded for that. I would really like to see that happen in the women's game and have a really super national league where all the best players play and develop the fan base.
One of the big stories of the series is Tara O'Hanlon. Tell me more.
Yeah, Tara is a fantastic young player. She's only 18. She's been with Pima now for a couple of seasons. Well, she's not with Pima anymore. She signed for Man City there just after Christmas. She was you'll see in the program, she was flying for Pima and she got the attention of Man United. She went on trial to Man United in September, but she done her hamstring on that trial, so she came back to Piemont and she didn't get to play any more matches because it was a really serious injury at the time, but she's she got a great move down to Man City in January, so she's a top player. She just missed out on the World Cup there getting into the squad last summer, but she's going to be a top player.
Does that mean a big payday for Piemont?
Well, not really. Again,
the men's game, yeah, I know it would.
I know this is, again, see, it's still in its growth stages in developing the women's game in Ireland, that most of them are on amateur contracts. So, it's not great, but most of the time they go for free to when the English teams can snap up all the best players.
Yeah. Tara was actually doing the Leaving Cert when the series was being made, on top of playing brilliant football.
I think she was going to go into Maynooth as well in university at the time, but she's a great player. She's a fantastic turn of pace and I can see her doing really well in the future.
One of the things about the game in Ireland, whether it was the men's game, often there was no building of personalities so that people could identify with people. Now we've seen with the senior women's team there is the now identification of who the stars are. We all get to know a little bit about them. It's so important for the building of the game that you can identify the characters, and I presume that's going to happen in the series.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, obviously with this, we wanted to attract people who are interested in football already, but a big part of it was to attract people who aren't interested in football or maybe haven't given the women's game a chance. And to do that, it's showing them these characters and showing them what they're like. So we see them at home with their families, in college, out with their friends, whenever they have the time. But as I say, the number one thing for these women is football, and they will give up absolutely everything, and they don't see it as a sacrifice because they are so dedicated to football. But we try and put across that sense of their personalities, of their characters, and how amazing they are on and off the pitch.
Now, at the time you were making the series, I mean, we had the Women's World Cup and we saw the performances by the Irish girls, although they were knocked out in the early stages. I mean, they weren't demolished by any of the teams that they played against.
Yeah, I thought he'd done quite well. You know, you have to be realistic. I thought even to qualify for the World Cup was a fantastic team. And yeah, they really held their own when they were over there. They were very unlucky in some of the games, you know. So, like, the international team is flying, you know, and they're getting great resources. They're getting great backing now in the last 5 years. And you're seeing the dividends of that. Again, I would like to see that filter down into the National League, because it hasn't really happened yet in terms of the resources being pumped into it. But hopefully it will again with this show, which is on tonight. You know, people get real good access, get good insight into actually what it's all about.
I presume that many of the girls who are featured in this series will be at the Aviva tomorrow night,
yeah,
having a look.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, some of them may be participating, like... Erin McLaughlin from P-Mount, she's been in the Ireland squad. She was over in France with them. And Jessie Stapleton, she's another one. So, yeah, we might see them on the pitch tomorrow night as well.
It'll be fascinating, absolutely. But that we will look at them in, if you like, the infancy of their career and then watch them on the pitch at the Aviva.
It's even, but the Irish under 19 side, they just qualify for the championships now. Yes, so there's a chunk of players, say, from the National League teams are playing the Irish under 19 side. So there's great potential coming through as well.
How much help are you getting from the FAI?
Again, you get a lot. The FAI do their best, you know, but we would always be, you know, the government and the FAI, we always feel that they need to do more in terms of the funding that the teams...
You're being very... political here.
Well, you know,
you're being gentle on them.
Well, yeah, like they are doing their best, but they're quite restricted and limited as well. You know, we go out to play Champions League now, and later on in the summer, we'll be coming up against professional teams and stuff like that. We're only going to be an amateur side, a standalone club, so we don't really have the resource that we should be getting, you know, but they do their best.
All right. Nice text here. I was in Venice last week, and there was a large team of teenage lads from Piemont at the airport. They were the best behaved lads I've ever seen. Full credit to them and their parents. They were great ambassadors.
Yeah, that was the trip that they had, the few of the lads teams had organised. Again, there's so many boys and men's teams in Piemont to play alongside the women's team, so it's quite unique in that. And so in terms of equality and access to facilities and resources, it's probably one of the only clubs where you see that happening, really.
Okay, and it's interesting, you know, when we were talking on this programme again and again about the lack of a pitch in Dublin 8, and when you see when people have facilities, what can come of it, and the camaraderie and the sociability that comes out of team games, which is denied so many of the kids. But in your area,
there's plenty
of opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right. Well, Jennifer Healy from Mind the Gap Films, producer of Pass It On, and James O'Callaghan, manager of Piemont United. Thank you both.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.